Can we make sense of our physical experience and become players in the symphony of life? Can we gain insights into the fundamental formulas of creation and grasp the mind of God? There are many challenges we must face, however, in our quest to discovering such a worthy prize. In this episode, we discover what those challenges are, the progress that has been made in overcoming them, and why this search for unity is so important to our lives. The two main pillars of modern physics are quantum field theory, which deals with microcosmic behaviors, and general relativity, which deals with macrocosmic behaviors. We've all heard of the four physical forces of gravity, electromagnetism, and the weak and strong nuclear forces. Quantum mechanics has successfully been able to unify three of the four forces, but it does not explain gravity. General relativity, on the other hand, explains gravity, but from a classical physics approach that doesn't incorporate quantum phenomenon. The challenge physicists encounter is that these two approaches become incompatible when dealing with very small scales yet high mass, such as would be found in a black hole or at the singularity in the first moment of the Big Bang. Attempts to incorporate gravity into the standard model of quantum physics run up against infinities and deep paradoxes. This has forced physicists to come up with entirely new models. Why should we care what happens in black holes or Big Bang singularities? How does this knowledge have any relevance to our lives? Well, the reason is that this search for unity is also the search for us to know ourselves and our origin. Where do we come from? The more we can understand our origins, the more we can understand our true self. Only then will we know what it takes to tap into our full potential. The fact that physicists have now started moving beyond ordinary notions of space-time and material ways of thinking in order to find their theory of everything reveals that there is a deeper underlying reality where everything is an unbroken wholeness, a unity that is the source of all phenomenon in our universe. And to grasp this unity, we need to go through a paradigm shift in our ways of thinking and approaching issues. What kinds of paradigm shifts are happening now? Well, there are a couple of themes revealing themselves as we consider the current leading models that attempt to unite quantum physics and general relativity. One of those recurring themes is that space-time, matter, and even energy are no longer seen as fundamental, but rather as emergent properties out of some deeper reality. But what is meant by emergent? Well, the best way to describe it is to think of water. Water is made of H2O molecules. Those molecules in and of themselves do not have the quality of being wet. They can be in the air state as they evaporate. They can also be in a frozen and crystallized state, or they can even feel dry. The H2O molecules are discrete and individualized, yet the water appears to be continuous, flowing, and transparent. All of these properties of water are emergent, as a result of how the H2O molecules interact with one another at different temperatures. We often picture space and time as the fundamental backdrops to the universe, while matter and energy are its building blocks. But these new models are saying that that is not the case. Instead, they are just properties that emerge as a result of interactions taking place within a deeper reality. Just as water's properties emerge from the water molecules and their interactions with each other. What is this deeper reality? That is the question. To grasp it, we have to completely change our notions of what is real. Space, time, energy, and matter are only experiential attributes of the deeper underlying reality. Similar to how water, ice, or moist air are experiential attributes of H2O molecules interacting. We can experience these different emergent states of water, but we can't directly experience a single H2O molecule with our five physical senses. We can, however, experience it with our mind. Due to the knowledge gained from science with its observational tools, We are now more informed about how to visualize and imagine a single molecule of water. Equipped with this knowledge, we can use our consciousness to interact with its consciousness. We have proof of this from the work of Dr. Masaru Emoto, who demonstrated the impact of our thoughts, emotions, and vibrational state of being and what they have upon water. At the same time, long before science told us about H2O molecules, ancient shamans, alchemists, and mystics did have ways of communicating and interacting with invisible essences. They thought of them as spirit beings, such as elementals, devas, and angels, as the consciousness behind all materia. They might not have known the specific shape of an H2O molecule, for example, but they certainly mastered the art of conscious communication with the elements and how to harness their power. As science comes closer to understanding the deeper reality, it can similarly help us to connect with it through our mind and consciousness. If we can use our consciousness to properly communicate with the deeper reality, then we can begin to impact how it manifests itself into our experiential realm. Just like we're able to influence the shapes and beauty of water crystals with our vibrational essence, science is one part of it, art is the other. Science informs us, and art is how we use that and express or directly interact with consciousness. Metaphysics is about bringing together both the art and the science in order to achieve true mastery and awakening of our full potential. Now let's go back to the other themes that show up in the newer physics models. What more is there? Concepts such as supersymmetry, superfluidity, higher dimensions, holographic information, coherence, and a geometric nature to the universe are all being proposed. What do all of these things mean? To explore that, let's dive into a few of the leading physics models for unifying physics. The first and most popular models are various string theories and something called loop quantum gravity. We explore these in other episodes, but string theory especially is very elegant and it lends itself well to correlations with hermetic, alchemical, and other ancient spiritual principles. In essence, these models say that the fundamental components of that deeper reality are harmonically vibrating strings, membranes, or loops of braided space-time. But this deeper reality can only be found at the smallest microcosmic scale called the Planck scale, which is very tiny. This scale is far too small for even our most powerful detectors and particle accelerators to access directly. But string theory does make several predictions beyond what the standard model has already verified. The main new predictions include a host of new supersymmetric particles, which could account for much of the dark matter that fills the galaxies. They also predict that there are 10 spatial dimensions plus time, causing us to consider our multidimensionality. And it tells us that the laws of string theory are equivalent to the laws of harmony, which relate to music, sacred geometry, and what creates beauty in our world. These are some of the things that I personally love about string theory and do hope that they will be verified one day. String theory also plays a role in the holographic model explored in other episodes. It says the vibrations of these strings create waves or ripples in the quantum sea. As those waves combine, they create interference patterns that contain information. This information is encoded upon the surface of the quantum vacuum within the zero-point field. It's the information patterns that govern the formation of our universe, as well as the types of particles and forces that can be manifested. Some scientists have delved even deeper into this analogy of the quantum vacuum as being like a vast ocean. If particles are more like waves traveling upon the surface of the sea, and if space-time is analogous to a liquid, then physicists say it must be more like a superfluid, one that does not impose any kind of friction, limitation, or dampening of the movement of those waves. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that the essence of the quantum vacuum is not physical, at least in the ways that we're usually thinking of it. Or we might also say that space-time does not actually impose any limitations. when we connect with that deeper reality. The final scientific approach to unifying physics that is really worth exploring is one that is relatively new. In 2013, physicists from the Institute of Advanced Studies in New Jersey published their findings of a new mathematical object they call the amplitudahedron. In essence, it is a multidimensional series of interconnected polyhedra, and it looks like an intricate jewel of higher dimensionality. The simplest version of it consists of four tetrahedra connected by their faces. This shape does not actually exist in physical space. Rather, it is a purely abstract object that exists only in a mathematical space. It allows scientists to model particle interactions in a much simpler way. And there is not just one amplitudahedron, but many, each depending on the various particles interacting and all the different ways that they can interact. These dictate the dimensionality and facets of that geometrical jewel. What used to take thousands of equations and Feynman diagrams can now be done in a simple one-line formula that just calculates the volume of the underlying geometry. So what does this mean? Well, it points to a geometrical basis to the universe. This is what I personally love about this approach. In addition to its paradigm-shifting perspective, it says that geometry underlies everything. Now, this idea is not new to those of us who study sacred geometry, which dates back far beyond the Pythagorean mystery school into ancient Egypt and beyond. But what is great about this is that science is again catching up with what ancient metaphysical teachings have been saying for millennia. Sacred geometry governs the true building blocks and fabric of our universe. This model is peering into an entirely different world, one of pure number and geometry rather than one based in space-time and quantum probabilities. It threw those assumptions out the window and stepped into an entirely different mindset. One of the reasons that most attempts to find a quantum gravity have failed thus far is that they run into this issue with two core assumptions that physicists make about our universe. These are known as unitarity and locality, and both of them are based on old materialistic paradigms. Unitarity means that all quantum probabilities for a given set of particle interactions must add to one, similar to how we add percentages until we get to 100%. But this assumption breaks down when gravity gets involved at small scales. Locality, on the other hand, assumes that particles can only interact through proximity in space-time. But we know from entanglement that this is not entirely true, and again, it breaks down for quantum gravity situations. The failure of these assumptions suggests that physics needs to be reformulated without either of those old principles, and this is exactly what the amplitudahedron approach does. By doing so, it suggests that there is a coherent geometrical structure at the foundation of the universe, while space-time locality and unitarity of quantum probabilities are emergent phenomenon that are a consequence of the geometry. In other words, the existence of space-time and the particle interactions that take place within it are a result of geometry. Geometry of what? What is it made of? Well, the basic idea is that it is made of something like rays of light called twisters that exist in a purely mathematical space. What this reminds me of are the rays of creation, discussed in other episodes, that come from the Ein Sof, the infinite source, prior to our physical universe coming into being, meaning they originate somewhere beyond or transcendent to our physical space-time universe. Could scientists finally be tapping into the mathematics that reveals the secrets of the Old One, as Einstein would have put it? That remains to be seen. I believe they're getting closer, but they are still missing key components. Before we get into that, there's one final thing on the amplitudahedron idea to explore. The physicists working on this model believe that they have discovered a master amplitudahedron. Well, what does that mean? How's it any different? It was mentioned before that there are many of these geometric objects because there are many ways in which particles interact. Physicists now believe that all those specific amplitahedra are simply facets on the surface of a more all-encompassing master structure. This master structure would have an infinite number of facets, kind of like how a circle has an infinite number of sides. Only this structure is much more multidimensional. The volume of this master structure would then theoretically give us the total probability amplitude of all physical processes allowed in the universe. It would be like their philosopher's stone. It could explain why our physical universe appears to exist, why we only experience three dimensions of space, why time appears to only move forward, and why space-time appears at all, and how the Big Bang and cosmology arose out of pure geometry. If this model or another one similar to it proves correct, then it will confirm that space-time is illusory and it will lead to a profound shift in paradigm. This master geometric structure would be of infinite dimensionality, but that dimensionality is not in space-time. Rather, it is in an abstract realm of pure numbers. While all phenomena such as space-time, separate forces, particle interactions, and even our earthly lives are simply emergent properties from a deeper, infinite wholeness. The changes we experience in this physical realm arise from the structure, the different facets of that master geometry as it moves and rotates in the quantum sea of the multiverse. But the object itself is changeless and timeless. I just love this because it relates to the mystery teachings on how the spiritual realms interact with our physical realm. Before we get into that, there is one caveat to state in regards to this amplitahedron model, which is that so far, it is based on a simplified supersymmetry model that doesn't actually describe real physics. So we haven't found a valid theory of quantum gravity yet, but physicists think there could be a related geometric object that will work. The question is, what geometry will be the key? Let's now explore some mystery teachings on this topic. Nikola Tesla, the great inventor who was an initiate, said, "If you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration." He lived his life applying things like numerology and sacred geometry to all he did, such as repeating everything in sets of three. He said, "If you only knew the magnificence of the 3, 6, and 9, then you would have the keys to the universe." Why did Tesla make claims like these? What's so special about frequency, vibration, numbers, and sacred geometry? Kabbalah works deeply with these things as the fundamental building blocks of all creation. The Sefer Yetzirah, the Kabbalistic Book of Formation, opens with a secret wisdom teaching that says God, or a divine creative source, engraved his name by three seraphim, numbers, letters, and sounds. And the word seraphim means mighty angels. So right away, we're being taught that numbers, letters, and sounds are angelic or spiritual forces. It then goes on to describe these further. It says 10 are the ineffable spherot, meaning the essence of the numbers 1 through 10. Then 22 are the letters, which it calls the foundation of all things. And these are grouped into 3 mothers, 7 doubles, and 12 simple letters. Altogether, these 10 spherot and 22 letters form what are called the 32 wonderful paths of wisdom. Now, what are the Kabbalists telling us? Right away, they're saying how important numbers are as fundamental building blocks of creation. The divine uses numbers to create. But hold on, what is meant by numbers? The spherot are not ordinary numbers in the dry mathematical sense. Rather, each number represents a frequency, or we could say a ray of creation. These numbers are alive, conscious, purpose-driven spiritual light, or rays of creation that emanate from the source. Each number contains volumes worth of information within it, and each one represents an essential aspect of divine source. The 10 spherot, the first 10 rays, are arranged in the pattern of the Tree of Life in the order of the lightning flash. But the divine building blocks are not only numbers, it's also letters. What is meant by letters here? Well, in Kabbalah, every letter has a corresponding number as its foundational essence. But the letters then take things further. The letters form patterns. A number is like a pure singular frequency, while a letter is a pattern shaped out of a combination of frequencies. Perhaps it's like how when two waves of different frequencies combine, they form an interference pattern that shapes a letter. So a letter is, in essence, a pure geometric arrangement of energy. Is this starting to sound familiar? Could we compare each letter to a specific amplitudehedron? If we were to use this analogy, let's then take it a bit further. Remember how the physicists talk about a master amplitudehedron as being somewhat equivalent to a circle, where all lesser amplitudehedra sit on the surface facets of that master geometry? Well, in a similar way, the Sefer Yetzirah talks about how all 22 letters are arranged as if upon a sphere. Each letter is then combined or connected with all the other letters, forming pairs of letters. This produces what is called the 231 gates of knowledge, or we could say information. Although knowledge is really a better word because it implies intelligence. This master structure of the 231 gates can then be rotated. When it is rotated forward or clockwise, it leads to good and pleasurable things. But when it is rotated backwards or counterclockwise, we are told it leads to evil and torment. This reveals to us that forward or clockwise is aligned with the will to do good, while backward or counterclockwise is against that will. One simple way to apply this is to train ourselves to draw or write our zeros and O's clockwise, with the intent of aligning with the forward flow or the will to do good. Try it out and pay attention to how you draw circles. Another important key to the letters is that they all represent a transformational process. When we look at the tree of life, each path or letter connects two spheres. The spheres or the numbers are considered as states of being, while the paths or the letters are more like states of becoming. They are a transformation from one state of being to another. So the letters could be akin to the dynamics of interaction between particles, which are more like states of being. This would match up again with the idea of the amplitudehedron, which is based on particle interactions. There is a reason why so many ancient mystery traditions put a lot of emphasis on learning to read and write ancient languages and magical alphabets. Good examples of this are ancient Hebrew, Sanskrit, and Japanese kanji, all of which are said to be among the few remaining ancient languages we still really understand that were derived from what are called the fire letters, or the original language of creation. As we can also see by now, the formation of both the Tree of Life and the 231 gates, which are based upon the letters, give us a variety of sacred geometries as the pure frequencies of the numbers combine or intersect, it gives the letters. And then as these combine again in various ways, it results in sacred geometries. Within these master patterns, we can find all sacred geometries. Just start connecting the dots and we'll find all the fundamental patterns our universe is built on. And so the Sefer Yetzirah says that from nothingness, the source, En Sof, made something. From nothing comes something. From the empty void is made the material world, using these numbers, letters, and sounds. Let's explore sounds now. How do they fit in? Well, sounds are vibration. The inner essence of a letter is based on numbers or frequencies, but the outer expression of letters produces sound or vibrations. We know from the research of Swiss scientist Dr. Hans Jenny and many others who followed in his footsteps, when the right sounds are exposed to certain materia such as water, clay, or sand, it shapes that materia into sacred geometric patterns. He called this research cymatics, or the study of wave phenomenon. But what is meant by the right sounds? Well, it means a sound or vibration that is resonant with that particular materia. Vibrational resonance is one of the principles that Nikola Tesla used in his various inventions. Resonance implies the laws of harmony and music. These laws have to do with ratios, or how one frequency relates to another, whether they harmonize or not. For example, in the standard musical scale of an octave, there are 8 notes, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, and do. That next do, the 8th note, is actually the first note on the next octave higher. So the second do is a higher harmonic of the first. This is a 1-to-8 ratio, the first note and the 8th note in an octave. Although in terms of frequency, it is double the rate of vibration. The other way we can get harmony, besides going up an octave, is to use what is called the perfect fifth in music. That is to take the fifth note, the so chord, and combine it with the eighth. This is a 5-to-8 ratio, which is what we call a golden ratio. What is a golden ratio? It relates to the Fibonacci sequence, starting with the basic binary of 0 and 1, and then all other numbers in the sequence derive from adding the 2 numbers that preceded it. But what's most interesting about this sequence is that when we take the ratio of any 2 sequential numbers, it begins to converge to what is known as the phi ratio, or golden ratio, of 1.618 dot dot dot. Notice that the 5-to-8 ratio is in this Fibonacci sequence. This golden ratio shows up all over nature and the cosmos, from the way that plants grow, to the proportions of our own bodies, to the golden spirals we see in shells, flowers, pine cones, ferns, even all the way up to spiral galaxies. The beauty of it is that the same ratios that govern the laws of harmony and music also govern the laws of sacred geometry. Returning to cymatics for a moment, Hans Jenny mostly studied the effects of pure frequencies on various materia, but there were a few studies he did that combined different frequencies, such as might be associated with the sounds of different letter combinations from Kabbalah. Letters combine to form words. In many spiritual traditions, certain divine names or words of power are used as mantras and chants. For example, Kabbalah talks about the various names of God, such as the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh or the Tetragrammaton, as being more like formulas for creation. While in Sanskrit, Om is said to be the primordial sound of creation. Some have even claimed that when Om is properly intoned across a plate of sand, it will shape the sand into what looks like a Sri Yantra. It's possible. But without a doubt, the vibrational energy of sound moves and organizes matter. We can imagine that if either space-time or the quantum sea is a superfluid, then vibration of divine names or words of power shape that superfluid into sacred geometric patterns, like we see in cymatics. This is one way that the higher rays of creation, such as numbers and letters, can make the transition from the realm of pure spirit into the realm of physicality. The final missing key in physics models that we've discussed is consciousness, the spirit which resides in non-physical realms. The hermetic principle of mentalism, that consciousness or mind is primary, must be included. So long as scientists remain rigidly opposed to bringing consciousness into their grand unified theories, they will fail to find a true theory of everything. As Tesla said, the day science begins to study non-physical phenomenon, it will make more progress in one decade than in all the previous centuries of existence. The newer physics models based on geometry and laws of vibrational harmony start to approach this, especially when these are combined with Kabbalistic and other metaphysical wisdoms. But how does all of this apply to us and our lives? With these understandings, we become empowered to use our consciousness to properly communicate with deeper reality. By doing so, we can impact how it manifests in our experiential realm. We and everything around us are made of numbers, letters, sounds, and sacred geometries. As we learn the true underlying meaning and essence of each of these building blocks, as well as properly tune our instruments, which is our body, mind, and soul, we can then use these tools as well. This is something Kabbalah and other mystery teachings have developed deep arts and sciences around. We can learn to apply them in magical ways to enter into a co-creative relationship with the universe and source. One of the big keys to doing this correctly is by properly tuning ourselves to the higher energies of spirit consciousness. Kabbalah talks about ascending and descending the tree of life. From the physical world of diversity that we are in, we strive to ascend back to the unity with Source. Simultaneously, spirit seeks to express itself into the world of matter by descending the tree. Kabbalah also teaches that the best way to align with Source and feel that connection in our lives is to live in the middle pillar. What does that mean? At the top of the middle pillar is unity. For us, this means being aware that we are one with all. The next step down the middle pillar is about hidden knowledge and revealing the connection between the physical and spiritual realms. The center is about expressing and recognizing beauty in all things, great and small. Then we come to the foundation, which is about grasping how the laws of the universe work, and at the very practical level, patterning our daily lives through what we think, say, and do to be aligned and in the flow with those laws of the universe. Finally, at the bottom of the middle pillar is the physical kingdom in which we live, move, and have our experience of being embodied. We are here so that we can learn the art and science of manifesting our full potential into this world. We are eternal spirit beings, having a physical experience, not the other way around. When we can truly grasp this wisdom, that is when our entire paradigm of how we live in this world will completely shift, making life so much more fun and full of true joy. Why is all this important? The search for unity, knowledge, beauty, foundation, and understanding life in the physical world is the search of both physicists and metaphysicists alike. It helps us to make sense of this grand experience that we are all a part of. It can bring us meaning and clarity of purpose. It can also help us to learn to harness the potentials available to us, and hopefully use them to transform our lives and our world into better ones. As we do, our transformation sends ripples throughout the cosmos. Because we are the cosmos, we are entangled with every part of this universe. So yes, our efforts for growth and expansion do matter in ways far beyond what most of us realize. When we learn to become players in the cosmic orchestra and pluck the strings of creation to make beautiful music, that is when we will earn our rightful place in this grand play of life. I'm Dr. Teresa Bullard. Thank you for exploring the mysteries of the universe with me in this episode of Mystery Teachings.